You are now tuned in to the Bleed Blue Show. Here are your hosts, Steve Blair and Chris Miles.
For the fans, I'm your co-host Steve, alongside my Bleed Blue partner in crime, Chris. The Knicks get destroyed in Indianapolis. Get destroyed. 929-477-4171. Get the fans' takes. Get Knickerbocker Avs' takes. The hopefully, Knicks Nation are not panicking. Well, they actually should be panicking to a degree. After that good basketball we have seen the last 4 or 5 days, outside of the Charlotte game, go on the road and we just lost all hell in the third quarter. Knickerbocker Ave, man, what's going on?
Hey, good evening, Steve. Thank God that game is over.
That game could have ended quick.
Hey, it started at 7. It's only 9:17 here. So, you know, good pace for the game. You know, thankfully it's over. I mean, to look at it statistically, no shit why the Knicks lost tonight. I mean, if you look at every statistic out here, I mean, they were out-rebounded 49-33. They were outscored in the paint 50-26. They shot 42% from the field after they were, you know, they started up so freaking well. But it's like they, you know, it was just after a Munson and Melo put in their points, the rest of the team kind of like checked out. I mean, Galloway didn't have a good game. Hardaway, you know, was a little too late. You didn't get very much from Thomas. There was no answer for Roy Hibbert tonight. He was just a beast in the third quarter. And, you know, that's all you can say about that for them right now.
Yeah, the New York Knicks lose by a million points tonight, 929-477-4171. Before we get bring on the callers, we got to give the update because, you know, we would have done the New York Rangers, the Rink podcast. But update right now, New York Rangers and the Habs. Montreal Canadiens 0-0 right now. The guard is, but the Knicks get destroyed. So the Knicks get really, really destroyed. Let's bring in Marlon and get his take. Are they talking Knicks tank right now on Twitter right now, Marlon?
Say it again?
They're talking Knicks tank?
Oh, yeah. Well, they started that, and some people said that. They said, at least we're back looking for Okafor. But you know, guys, I'm a little more disappointed with this loss because the Knicks kind of scare me because they reverted back into their old ways. You know, I understand that they were outmatched down below, but there's still no excuse regarding like the 3-pointer and all this other stuff. And me, I've noticed even on the games where they won, when the bench comes in, they start screwing up. Anytime Fisher pushed the bench in, I don't know what it is, why these guys can't, you know, get themselves together or sustain any type of continuity, but it seems like every time he goes to that bench, especially when he sits down Mello and them, it's like it makes no sense to me how much they lose. And then another thing I was really pissed off at is that why do you have Amundsen at 6'9", guarding 7'2", Roy Hibbert. And you have 7-foot Jason Smith guarding 6'9", 6'10", David West. That doesn't make sense. I'm not saying that we can stop him, but I'd rather have a 7-footer on another 7-footer and not have a 6'9 guy. You know, Fisher didn't do any adjustments and just let Roy Hibbert just continue to destroy him down low. I don't understand that.
See, the thing was, Smith was guarding him early on, but if you remember, he already got elbowed, three times in that whole game. You know, he even drew blood on two of those occasions. And then what was even weirder is that for the two elbows that he got in the face, he was called for fouls. So he got into foul trouble, and that was the reason why they reverted the switch on Amundsen on Hibbert, and they switched Smith over to West, it made no sense, because if anything, I would have left Melo on West and see if West can even, you know, take it to Melo. But it's neither here nor there. It made no difference because Hibbert still, you know, did what he used to do. Rodney, he also had a pretty good game. So I mean, it was just an all around bad.
Yeah, and Gary and Thomas. Yeah, they were very helpful, and Hardaway Jr., not one of them showed up today. You know, this is going back, you know, like I'm saying, we got the third quarter doing again. Knicks lost composure. They lost focus. They weren't guarding a three-pointer. I was getting bad flashbacks all over again after this nice little run, which we think they've turned a corner. And, you know, I'm sorry to say this, guys, as a Knicks fan as I've been for decades, it seems like every time you think they turn the corner, they go right back into what they were doing before. It's really sad. And I don't want to hear that it was back-to-back. There's no excuse for the way they played today. And what killed me, too, is as well as Amundsen was playing, they were looking for Amundsen to score. You know, it's like they, that was the Knicks' game plan, to keep giving the ball to Amundsen. I'm like, does this make sense to anybody else? I don't understand what was going on out there today.
Me neither. You're right, Marlo. There's no excuses for back-to-back. They got destroyed. I mean, they were in it. You know, they're only down five at halftime. But the third quarter, they came out with no fire. But here's my thing. I mean, were they even trying to win the game from a coaching perspective? This is how I looked at it. When the Knicks were getting down a lot, why did Fisher? He's known for calling timeouts in the middle of the possession, but why you wait too long when the deficit got too out of hand, like double digits, to call timeouts? Like, were you really trying to win that game or not? That was my question. I was going to bring that to you two. Did you see that?
I actually did see that there were a number of times where Fisher was kind of like mistiming his timeouts. Like, he would call them early in the game, you know, when they were making runs. You know, they would get 4 or 6 point runs, and then he'll call it. But then in the second half, they go on a 13-point run, and you're like, okay, Fish, any day now, do you want to call a timeout? You know, get them back into it. I mean, he let them go to a 17-3 run, and then he finally called timeout. And then by then, the game was over. It's like, you know, what the heck was the point?
It was over.
Well, he's a disciple of Phil Jackson, guys. And, you know, Phil likes having his players figure things out. You know, he did that with the Lakers and with the Bulls. He likes them to try to get themselves out of it instead of him bailing himself out with the whistle. But, you know, still with the Knicks, though, you know, just like what you guys were saying, my thing is, too, we saw in the second half the game was starting to get out of hand. Why is Amundsen and Melo still on the bench with 6 minutes left? The bench was getting killed with second chance points, and nobody could score. So I understand you want to give them some rest, but, you know, we still had the lead. If you were to put those two in a little bit sooner, maybe things wouldn't, you know, maybe we would at least have a respectable loss. I don't know.
It now kind of like answers the question. I don't think. I'm going to go with Steve on this one. I don't think that Steph Fisher was coaching to win this game. He probably was, you know, more worried about minutes management, you know, getting these guys, you know, ample amount of rest because, you know, Melo didn't play 38 minutes last night, so he only played 25 tonight. And then, you know, the team got in late last night. They got in at around 2 in the morning, apparently, according to Mike Breen. And then, you know, but now, you know, they're going to go home. They're going to be off till Sunday afternoon, and hopefully they show up on Sunday afternoon because we all know, I don't know, maybe I'm just one of the few people that are still like that are very weary about Sunday afternoons. You know,
everyone's not hanging out Saturday night.
Well, then again, I mean, yeah, he's in Cleveland now, so it's not like it matters. But still worried.
I wanted to ask you guys, did you see that comment that Shump made about Melo? Because I was trying to look for it. Some Knicks fans were texting were tweeting about it today. You know, he threw some shade. And I was surprised. I couldn't actually find the actual quote, but did either one of you hear about it or see it?
Not really sure what you're talking
about. What was the context, you know?
Well, basically, he said, well, I have it right here. I can give you the exact quote because one of the other Knicks fans tweeted it, that he said something to the effect of, now that I'm on this team, where they actually pass the ball. I think he's throwing shade to Melo, and I was getting pissed off, but I was trying to research it before. Okay, here it goes right here, because this girl did it.
Something with the bacon grease. Nice.
Damn. So JR talking shit, Iman talking shit. I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna put these niggas, you know, put it on them right now. If y'all niggas played with enough fire. And y'all came to play at game in and game out, then y'all probably got the ball past you.
And not only that, Knickerbocker Ave, you could probably have the stats for that. That little 55-point that Kyrie Irving did, was he passing to Shump? I don't see Shump in double figures that game. And the game before that, LeBron and Irving both had 30 points. It's like no one else is scoring on the Cavs but those two. And he's
going to
start
working.
Talking mess like that? Okay.
It's working for them. Now, I want to know what happened at the start of the third quarter. I mean, you know, where was the energy? I mean, they look like walking zombies there coming out of the halftime. And next thing you know, the lead just kept on multiplying. I mean, Solomon Hill would not miss. You know, going inside the Hibbert all day, they could not miss. They didn't stop. And Stuckey, you know, had a nice game. Where do you guys? Where was the energy?
What energy? What energy? I didn't see any. I saw them start to deflate. In terms, and funny how we keep on talking, they were talking a lot about deflating of balls and stuff. But no, the energy was out of the Knicks. Midway through the second, once Indiana took the lead with about 3 or 4 minutes left in the half, you know, the energy just died out and it never came back, and it just kept on, you know, it was like a slow leak, and it's just getting flatter and flatter. They weren't hustling. They weren't giving you that same, you know, fight and grit that, you know, that you saw last night, that you saw the night, you know, in nights prior. It was basically the old Knicks, you know, the 38 lost Knicks that we all know and love of this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to take it a step further from what Knickerbocker Ave was saying, I knew it was trouble because Galloway and Thomas weren't doing anything. I was like, you know, because those are the guys. Remember I was calling them Mr. Timely Hoop?
This is the
first game with neither one of them. And that's what kills me with the Knicks, too. It's like, they can have someone who steps up for Melo, you know, at certain games. But then instead of one of them still consistently being with him, you know, if one has an off night, the other one still be consistent with Melo, they will both have an off night. And it's just Melo on an island by himself. But here's the quote right quick. Iman Shumpert, there's no one on the Cavs team that doesn't pass.
Oh, that's it? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know, man. I mean, did you really think that he just saying that little quote right there is throwing a jab at Carmelo?
I think he's throwing a jab at, you know, the entire Knicks team, and I find that really once again it shows how immature and idiotic and moronic those two knuckleheads were and still are, obviously, because. For Iman Shumpert, you know, given, you know, he had a shit couple of years under Mike Woodson. This is the team that gave him the shot. This is the team that drafted him, groomed him, and made him, you know, featured him as, you know, the elite perimeter defender that everybody's been raving about. And for J.R. Smith, Mr., you know, all of a sudden I can't freaking, you know, I can focus more because I don't have anywhere to go to party.
That's embarrassing to even say that.
Screw it. I'm just gonna say, you know what? Mm-hmm. Fuck them guys. They're not mm-hmm. Knicks anymore. They can go eat a dick, kick rocks. I don't care.
Basically.
Yeah, basically. I questioned Fisher's timeouts early in the third quarter. I think it was after the Hibbert made a jump shot. I think Watson hit him with the assist. Fisher takes a 20, right? Then they come back out of the 20-second timeout. Carmelo He misses a jumper. You know, Lou gets the rebound, and you know, he puts back the dunk, and then Hibbert goes off and makes another shot. Then Calderon misses, and I think after that, you know, Rodney Stuckey, you know, he comes back, gets the rebound, they push the ball, and it's just like the Knicks were just flat, you know, jumper after jumper. I think Galloway missed the jumper in there, and Jason Smith took a three in the corner and missed. And it's like we were settling for jump shots, not attacking the rim, which was proved to be successful, whether if you're the Knicks or whatever team in the NBA. It's just like we just settled for too many jumpers early in the third quarter, and they went inside often as they wanted to set up their three-point shooting. Now, let's just throw this game in, you know, let's just, you know, burn the stat sheet. Let the guys get rest. I don't want to make excuses for the guys, but let's let them get rest, get ready for Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, you know, the afternoon game. How do you guys look at it as a Knicks fan? I mean, does this game pisses you off, or you're like, you know, same old Knicks? Like, how do you feel?
See, that's a thing right now. I'm, you know me, guys. I'm always a guy about effort. I want to see them be competitive and be and you know, maybe win a few games. But at the same time, it's kind of like, what are we playing for? You know, are we playing for pride? Are we playing for a playoff spot? Are we trying to win a championship? It's like, of course, we're not going for the latter two. We're pretty much playing for either just pride or we are tanking. So it's kind of like, do you just, you know, I kind of just get excited whenever they win or whenever they play hard, and then when they lose and they lose badly like they did tonight, I'm just going to be like, well, you know, what can you do? They're 9-38. What else can you say?
Damn, Knickerbocker.
They're 9-38. What can I say?
You basically brought the reality hammer right down.
Dude, the tank was out of gas tonight, and so we 9-38.
Well, you know, I gotta agree with Knickerbocker, but you know what, guys? It's just so hard with these Knicks because, you know, they don't. You know, as Stephen A. loves to say, they don't have the cachet really to do that to us, and there's still no excuse for effort. And when I see not boxing out and leaving uncontested three-pointers or not trying to foul Hibbert, I mean, try to foul him at least or something. You know, when I see that and just a total collapse on composure, it bothers me because, you know, this team should be past that. I'm sorry. So, you know, there's certain things I understand that they're not that great. But then, you know, also, again, I'm thinking, I was like, well, you know, we do need, like, we probably need, like, a thick center. You know, someone who's kind of big, or at least got that dog in him, like a Joe Kim Noah, which makes you think about Marc Gasol again, even though I don't think we're going to get him. But, you know, I don't know how a Okafor would do against a guy like a Hibbert or a Joe Kim Noah or a Marc Gasol. Those are big dudes. You know, that could
be trouble. But how the center position in the NBA is kind of, I would say it's a dying breed or whatever. But, I mean, we don't have to see Roy Hibbert-type guys every night. And
true.
But you know what? No matter how I spin this, you're right, Marlo. It really comes back down to effort. I could make so many justifications and reasonings and observations. At the end of the day, it comes back down to effort, no matter how you spin this. And there's no excuses to lose to Indiana the way they did tonight. Now, I mean, you know, the Knicks just last night played against, you know, Serge Ibaka and Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah.
They're just as, you know, athletic and physical as Indianapolis. Is it because, you know, it was back-to-back nights? I don't know. You know, they said the team gets in late, but it's the NBA. They get in late all the time. I can't use that as an excuse. But going forward, you know, give them a couple of days, let them recover, and, you know, it's on to the next game. I feel with the Knicks, you know, it's just one of those things. Like, it's hard to say be patient, but a lot of us has been, you know, we've been fans for over 20, 30 years. I feel that the Knicks need to regroup, and let's just start it over, but we got to somehow turn it on. And you know what? And I know the players play, and I get that. I really, really question Fisher, man. I don't know, and I can't put my finger on it. I mean, what grade would you guys give Fisher right now this season, up until this point? Just Fisher alone.
If I have to grade Fisher overall, you'd have to give him an F. You know, played out.
Oh, wow.
He is an F. I mean, 9-38 is hard to explain, and you know, you can't just keep on saying, "Oh, this is his first year rookie coach" and all this other stuff. We've seen first year rookie coaches come out and. I mean, especially, you know, us Knicks fans, we have our rivals right across the river, and we saw what Jason Kidd did last year in his first year. I mean, we've seen other guys, you know, do stuff, you know, in their first year. I mean, I'm sorry. I cannot excuse a 9-38 averaging, you know, less than, barely 90 points a game. Getting outscored by 102, 104 points a game, getting out-rebounded almost on a daily basis, getting out-assisted, that's not just players. That has to fall on the coaching. And this is, you know, given everybody wants to fall on Fisher too, but this is not just on Fisher. This is on the entire coaching staff. Now, I'm talking about Clemens, Rambis, Keith, Longstaff, all them fools, because most of those guys were, you know, were with Phil in L.A., if not with him in Chicago, and they all know that it's hard to explain 9-38 and expect to have a passing grade. Come on now.
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Nick Lucko.
And furthermore, you know, to explain tonight at the same time, I mean, given this is a, you know, the Indiana Pacers, given without Paul George, they lost Lance Stephenson, you know, they're not the same team that's been to the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years in a row, but they still are a pretty good team. Their record doesn't reflect how good of a team they still really are. You know, they've been battling injuries all year long. But, you know, getting whacked, you know, by almost 30-something points, that's hard to explain. So that's why, once again, I have to look at Fisher and say, like, yo, you and the rest of the coaching staff, F.
Well, you know, just that point that you're making, too, that's what makes it – that's why I'm a little bit more disappointed with this game. You know, they don't have Paul George. And, you know, the Indiana has been playing well. I think they said they lost 10 out of the 11 games. And
9 of the last 11.
Yeah, and Roy Hibbert hasn't been a factor at all in the past 10 games. So this is a game that could have been had. That's what makes it even worse, you know, when it comes to effort. You know, this is a game that they could have had because, you know, like Knickerbocker I was saying, there's no Lance Stephenson, there's no Paul George, there's no, you know, that it's not the same team. It's a bunch of just, you know, Roy Hibbert and David West, which I understand, they're not offensive juggernauts, but, you know, we could have at least combated with them on the outside game. If our outside game had something going on, and we were better defensively. And, you know, with Fisher, I would still give him, like, about a C because I'm still giving him a bit of a pass because, you know, he – for all the new coaches, I think he's one of the ones that got one of the worst rosters. I mean, he wasn't blessed with Steph Curry and the Klay Thompson, you know what I mean, like Kerr did. And I know Kerr is, like, thanking his lucky stars every day because, I mean, they're just killing it out there. But, you know, it's just a lot of things that had to happen, and especially the fact that it seems like, you know, the JRs, the Shumpers, and the Dallin Bears of the world seemed like they weren't giving him his respect when he started out, you know, which is one of the reasons why they're not on the roster anymore. So, you know, he's going to learn. And like I said previously, I'd rather he make his mistakes and learn all this stuff now until we get hopefully the much better roster this next coming season. So he'll get a lot of those kinks and stuff out of him. And, you know, we'll at least see on the second half how he does for the season.
New York Knicks lose to the Indiana Pacers, 103-82. Late action with the New York Rangers. Actually, Pekka O'Reilly for the Montreal Canadiens got a late goal. Rangers down 1-0 with a couple minutes left. And if the Rangers don't send out the extra skater, without looking at the game right now, they're about to take an L at the Garden. The New York Rangers down 1-0, and then the New York Knicks lose by, it seemed like, a million points. That game could not ended any quicker than it did. These are one of those games. Yeah, you probably get one of those every season. It's, you know, whether you're a good team or a bad team, you got to just throw away. You have to burn arson the statue. Whatever happened, it never existed. This game sucked. Specifically in the third quarter. I mean, you know, it was in it. The Knicks got off to the early 11-4 lead, and were up.
Excellent first 11, half, at, first quarter.
Yeah, they were up at 7 at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah, by 12. They had a 12-point lead.
Yeah, they did.
They lose by 30? Come on.
Yeah. Well, they do. Let me give my grade for Fisher. I'm right in between.
Oh, I've been waiting for this.
Angel says F. Marlo says C. I'm going with a D minus. His adjustments, and I hope I have to eat my words because I want to be right about Fisher. I think he's capable of being a good head coach, but my thing is, I don't know if somebody's telling him just to, just get in a suit and tie and just fuck up, or just get in a suit and tie and just stand there, because it's like as if he's able to coach in certain situations, like the third quarter of this game or end of certain games earlier in the season, and it's like, you know, it's not like he's not getting the best out of the players in certain situations, and I know that's directly on the coach. I mean, it starts with the players, but it's the coach that's got to motivate the players, especially in the last 2 minutes of each quarter. And I feel that, you know, Fish doesn't bring that for some reason, and I hope I'm wrong about that. Knickerbocker asks, what things about Fisher that stands out to you the most that you, it's the F? Is it the adjustments? Is it body language?
There are moments during a game where Fish looks completely inept. He looks completely out of his league. His body language to me, you know, it's kind of like he's playing the role of coach and not actually being the coach.
Yeah, there you go.
When he made that comment about, you know, motivating guys, dude, I'm sorry to tell you this, but that's part of being, you know, a head coach in this league nowadays. You have to motivate your players. You have to, you know, figure a way to get them to get into their heads and make them perform. And obviously, I'm going to restate the record again. They're 9-38, and most of these 38 losses end in the third quarter. They come back, they'll play a good first half, and then in the second half, they just blow it all up. And I don't know what it is that he's saying to them, in the locker room or at halftime, if he even talks to them at all, if he just, pinpoints a few, goes over a few plays, or what is it that what the conversation is in that locker room when halftime comes around that really it shows that he is completely out of his league in this present point in time. You can't keep on making excuses that, you know, it's the roster, you know, guys don't know if they're going to be here or not. Hey, look, Lua Munson and Lance Thomas, they just got signed for the rest of the season. You know they're going to be here for the rest of the season. There's very little chance that you're going to see them get, you know, trade package, but hey, you never know. You know, Jose Calderon, he's been a veteran for 10 years. You would think that he would step up. He's been completely abysmal.
Yeah.
Fish has to get into the heads of some of these guys, because he's already getting to the head of Melo. You can almost tell that. Melo is adjusting his game, you know, game by game. He's adjusting it, you know, to tailor make to this team that it's supposed to be. So you can't put all the blame on him anymore. Now you have to start looking at these other guys to perform, i.e. Samuel D'Alembert, no longer here anymore. J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert, no longer here anymore. You know, all these other guys. It's... it's something that Fish has to do. He has to make an adjustment. You know, I know he just came off the court, you know, last May, but at the same time, dude, I mean, you knew what you were getting into. You were going to be coaching the number one media market team in probably one of the biggest basketball markets in the world, in the, with this rabid, dumb fan base. You have to, you know, you have to adjust and perform too, and I don't see him doing that.
Oh, by the way, the Rangers lose 1-0 to the Canadians.
Damn it!
Somewhere no. out there, Trav.
You get a loss. You get a loss. You get a loss.
Yeah, that's 0-2 tonight, baby. 0-2 tonight. Without further ado, bring in the Godfather. Godfather, co-host of the Blee Blue Show. What's on your mind, man? Holler at us.
Hey. Hey. I got to jump in here, and I got to say something. I got to talk about how wrong Angela is right now. Okay?
Hello?
Okay. If it's okay with y'all.
Absolutely.
You know what?
Absolutely.
You know what? What you said is kind of on point. That's what I expect from a New York Knickerbocker fan. You know? You want your team to excel. You don't want any issues. You don't want any problems. You don't want... You want perfection. But this team is not perfected yet. If the New York Knickerbockers were a cake, right now we have been in the oven for 30 minutes and we haven't baked yet. Okay? This is what's going on right now. There's still a vetting process going on right now with this team. Yes, you have a superstar. Yes, he's very interested in what's going on with his players. But the thing is, we all know that this is a 3-year process with him. He's going through those motions. He's still evaluating his talent, working with what he has, what the hand that he's been dealt. That's all it is. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to side with him. I'm sorry. We are not going to be a playoff team this year, or probably not even next year. But what we will be is the powerhouse. I think what's going on right now in the front office is this is a team that is going to is actually being built for the long run instead of the short possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we are not going to win right now, and we don't want to win right now. What you're going to see now is probably the highlight of the year. It's probably Melo scoring 30 points at the All-Star game and winning the MVP and then sitting down the rest of the year. That's what you're going to see.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
All you're going to get. That's all you're going to get. This is not a team that is ready to play right now because it is a process. They are building from the ground up. They are not – they're getting rid of salaries. They're evaluating player talent. They are just trying to gel. And you know what? You're in a very, very wonderful position right now because the Bleed Blue Show will probably be the biggest goddamn podcast in 2017 that you will ever see. We'll probably have 150,000 callers. And everybody's going to want to call in. There's going to be a line around the corner for this shit because everyone knows that this is going – not everyone knows, but I'm telling you right now, this is going to be a team that's going to win 65 fucking games in 2017, man. And fucking hoist the goddamn another flag in 2018. This is just the beginning. We are starting now, and we have to do this by getting rid of salary and evaluating players and just dealing with the hand that we've been dealt. And Derek Fisher knows this, and he is part of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Just hold on a second, and let me hear your voice 2 years from now when we will fucking rock the living world and everyone will be scared to play at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, exactly.
This is what is going on right now. We are just starting. This is how it works. We empty out the salary cap. We build. We straighten out the front office. We do a definite marketing, let's say a flip over. Somebody's laughing at me right now, but we're gonna flip over the goddamn marketing scheme, and the biggest ticket in the world will be the New York Knickerbockers of 2017-18. And everybody's going to be attending that game. And you'll love it. You'll love it when you see Derek Fisher doing his thing with the crew he has now, with assistant coach Patrick Ewing, and everybody, every star that you can name in the front goddamn seat, and you're going, God damn it, I should have been more patient. Because that's what we're going to do. Why? Because we're the New York motherfucking Knickerbockers. We bleed fucking blue and orange like a bitch. Nobody can really fuck with us once we get started. And here's the thing. The guy that really understands this more than anybody else is Phil Jackson. And he knows what it was like when this was electric. Because I remember it too. And I was a little kid then. And that's what he's trying to get to now. But in order to do that under the new rules, meaning salary cap, meaning draft, two-round draft situations, and all this other shit, CBA and all that bullshit. What you're going to find out is that we have something brewing in the can here, and right now it's just dormant because this is what it's going to take. We got our goddamn franchise player. We're probably going to add maybe two more in the next two seasons. Okay, and we're also going to add a nucleus. We're going to have a nucleus that's going to be able to just rip every fucking other of the 31 teams apart when we get it going. Now, Phil Jackson, he used to be a coach too, you know, before he played with the Knicks. I mean, after we played for the Knicks, and he won six titles in Chicago with a couple of really decent Hall of Fame players there, and he won, I think, 1, 2, 3. Was it four?
Five.
No, he went to five. He went, yeah, five titles in Los Angeles with two Hall of Fame players and a borderline one. I think he knows how to do this. And now he's back home where he started, where he was a member of two championship teams, and he has two rings to show for it as a player. Okay? Watch what happens. Let's take it from here. Let's just laugh at these podcasts right now. We get on here, and we're looking at these, and we're going, okay, well, they lost to this team, they lost to that team, and how did they do it? Don't take it that serious, man, because we're going to win. And we're going to come up big like you don't know. Because we're the New York Knickerbockers, goddammit. I've been hanging out with this team since I was 8 years old. I am 55 right now. And I look like I'm 8 years old because I'm a New York Knickerbocker fan. So fuck it. Stay tuned.
There it is.
Okay.
Don't take this shit seriously. We won't get there. We will get there.
Let me ask you this. Chris, how you feel about the fans, you know, Knicks tank, tanking for Okafor and all that other stuff with the draft and the lottery? What's your thoughts on just that outrage from, you know, the fans?
Phil Jackson, I'm a Phil Jackson guy. I'm in Phil Jackson's head. Every time I think about what we're doing, every time we lose the game, every time we fuck up in the third quarter, like Angel said, all I'm thinking about is, what is Phil Jackson thinking? And you know what he's thinking? He's thinking we got to be lottery and we got to be top three.
Yeah.
Because if you're top three or top four, you got a better chance of getting number one pick. The number one pick, you just can't tank the season. You can't just say, okay, fuck it. Right now the Knicks have 9 losses. Let's lose the rest of the season and we'll get the number one pick. It don't work that way no more.
Mm-mm.
Because there's a lottery situation. And I believe that the scales are kind of tipped in our favor because this shit happened before 30 years ago. And I have to remind you guys what happened then. Okay,
Patrick Ewing.
That's right. But at the same time, you can't really do that. So as long as Phil is thinking, hey, listen, let's stay top three lottery. If we stay top three lottery, then we got a chance to get them. That's what he's thinking, because you know what? He's never been one of the league office's favorite people either. Okay? So that's how that works. But I'm letting you know right now, and I'm telling you guys because I know in my heart of hearts, especially after meeting Angel last week, man, I know in my heart of hearts that you are Knickerbocker diehard motherfuckers like I am. And you got to understand how this process works. We will get a top pick. We will get in contention. We will win our conference probably 2 or 3 years from now. But for sure, somewhere in the next 4 years, and I'm going to pick 2017-18 year, we're going to win this fucking championship. And we're going to raise that fucking flag again because we're the baddest fucking squad out there. We will be that again. Just hold the fuck on. Don't get too despaired on what the fuck we got right now. Right now, the cards are being shuffled. But when the hand is dealt and the last motherfucker falls away and saying, hey, I have to fold, guess who's going to win the goddamn game?
Mm-hmm.
I said enough.
Yes, you have. I'm back in the revival again.
Yeah, we needed that. But you know what, though, speaking just what he was saying, which is very true, Phil is basically doing what he said he was going to do. He wants to clear cap space, which he's doing. And, you know, he got his draft choices, you know, draft picks. He's basically coming through on all his problems. The only thing he messed up on is when he said that we were going to make it to the playoffs, which is okay, that happened. But you guys got to think, too, if the Knicks were playing well with JR and Shumpert and he traded them away, it would be ultimate outrage going on in the, you know, about what's going on with these Knicks. So, you know, Phil is actually doing the stuff that he said that he was planning on doing with this team, and they kept saying you cannot rebuild from scratch. Well, hey, that's what he's doing. He's trying to rebuild this team from scratch because Dolan and all his bad salaries, which he's gotten rid of just about all of them, so that damn Andrea is gone. And, you know, he's getting rid of all – this is all still Dolan's bad stuff that's in there. And, you know, he's slowly cleaning that out. He's flushing out this thing, and then he's going to build it up how he wants it built. So, you know, we just got to try to hold on and have a little faith with that.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly what we need to do. This is the team in transition, man. This is the team that is going through the motions in order to recharge itself. And actually, the whole franchise actually is. You know, they are very aware of what's going on across the street in Brooklyn. They're very aware of the market. They're very aware of the salary cap and the new changes that are supposed to hit the players' union thing? The goddamn BBC.
CBA.
What the hell do you call
CBA?
It?
CBA.
CBA. Yeah, they're very aware of what's going on because that shit's up for negotiation again. Coming this summer. So they know what's going on. And they're very conscious of what's happening. But you know what? There is a plan in place. And the plan doesn't really include... Huh?
90 seconds.
I didn't hear you.
90 seconds.
Oh, shit. We're out of here. Okay. I've spoken my piece. Thank you, gentlemen.
Wrap up real quick. Marlo, Knickerbocker, Chris. Marlo.
Yes. Okay, well, you know, thanks again, Chris, for the perspective and the reality check. And, you know, we just got to hold on because we have to keep remembering this lost season. So.
I echo you. Go ahead, Angel.
At least we get a break for a little while. You know, we can recharge our batteries, get ready for Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday, hopefully the Knicks could, you know, show up at the Garden and take care of business against the Lakers.
That's right. Let's just get to 15 wins. Good, Steve. Thank you very much.
Hey, and thank you again, Marlo, Knickerbocker F, Chris, myself. We'll be on next week when the Knicks play Boston at the MSG at the Garden. Everybody enjoy your Super Bowl. And also iTunes, Bleed Blue, the Bleed Blue Show on iTunes, Podcast Republic, and also tune in. Bleed Blue, guys.
Bleed Blue.
Hey!
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.